And good day to you, Brevard County, and welcome to Friday. We are almost to the end of January here, and it's a month that really is going by at a pretty quick clip. And we are thankful that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you have any prayer requests or praise reports, we would love to hear what we can pray with you about, what we can stand in faith with you about, so we can share the glory of God in those situations. We love to praise God. A few weeks ago we had a prayer request that we had just prayed about, and it had been something had been going on for days, and a praise report came in the middle of Wednesday night Bible study, and we just as soon as we could we stopped the Bible study so we could start praising God for his intervention in that situation. So we are not only interested in praying with you, but rejoicing with you with the answers to your prayer requests. So today we are going to conclude our study of this partnership that exists between mercy and truth that God has created and intends for it to operate in our lives. So I thought I would share just a few of the things that we've gone over, that mercy and truth, whenever we seek truth, we find mercy. The more merciful we should become. We're not worthy of God's mercy, but God chooses to operate with mercy in our life. All of God's paths, everything that God does, is through the path of truth and mercy. Everything he does. And so we've talked about that mercy and truth are dispatched from heaven, that mercy and truth preserve the throne of the king. They're a preservative in our life, that the nature of God is both truth and also mercy, that mercy and truth are necessary. They go before his face. In other words, mercy and truth have got to be on sight. They've already got to be in operation if we want to experience the presence of God the way that God wants us to. They are for the glory of God's name. We should apply those principles to our life so that we do not let them go. Yesterday we talked about that atonement for sin is a result of or demonstrated in mercy and truth. So those are the things that we have talked about thus far. Today we're going to conclude that particular partnership study, and we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 22. And it says, "Do they not go astray who devise evil, but mercy and truth belong to those who devise good?" Okay? Do they not go astray who devise evil, but mercy and truth belong to those who devise good? So the primary point that I want to make in today's program is that if we are seeking truth and we are seeking God's mercy, that we're seeking everything that comes with that, that it is going to compel us to live a life that is good and pleasing in the sight of God and in the sight of man. It's going to be beneficial. So this proverb of Solomon starts off with a negative application, and it says that the people who devise evil, in other words, they strategize, they plan, they prepare for doing things that are displeasing in God's sight, that those people who strategize those malicious schemes, that they go astray. Okay? Now, if you remember, Jesus said that the path that leads to destruction is broad. It is, many people find themselves on that path. and straight and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So we need to make sure that we are not undermining our own spiritual health by planning things that God does not want us to be planning. Now, there is a principle that many in modern sociological terms believe in, and that is this, that man, if you just leave him alone, that he's going to do good things. And I want you to know that the evidence does not support that. The evidence does not support that. Here a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy here in Brevard County, and he's not been convicted yet, but the article that I read said that he had devised a plan, put it into place, where he was going to do horrible things to a person that crossed his path from time to time, but they had never met. They'd never spoken. There'd never been any malicious interaction between the two. It was just that this person was bent and putting into place a very meticulous plan that was evil. That doesn't mean, or that is very indicative of the fact that man without God is potential of horrific, horrific things. A lot of people look for anecdotal evidence to try and disprove the Bible. I want you to know that the statistical evidence shows that that mankind left to his own devices is going to be self-centered, self-focused, self-serving, and is going to be miserable. And so my wife and I, we were watching a video, a Christian comedian, and they were talking about their interaction that they had with this person who was very powerful and influential in a certain industry, and this lady invited this person to go on a missions trip with them, not a believer, not a Christian. And at the end of the missions trip, she said that person stood up and asked to address the group, and he said, "You don't understand, but I come from a place where the people that I rub shoulders with have everything this world has to offer, and they are miserable." Said, "You've brought me here where people have virtually nothing, and yet the joy of serving God is all around them." And it was one of those, break out the hanky moments, as far as, you thought you were watching this to laugh, and all of a sudden you realize that our impact that we make on people doesn't have to just come from a pulpit on Sunday morning. It comes from the interactions that we have with them on a regular basis. And so I want you to know there are people that today are still planning to do evil things. It didn't stop in World War II. It didn't stop with any of the military conflicts. It just moves over into different arenas. So there are people who plot robberies. Sometimes, I've read articles where, crime is up, and in some of these communities where they're not prosecuting crimes anymore, carjackings are up and taking place in broad daylight. But sometimes that doesn't work out too well, because there are people who say, "No, that's my car, not your car," and it all could be avoided if people weren't just planning and devising schemes that are displeasing to God. So one of the motivations for people whenever they devise evil schemes is revenge. And the Bible is very clear about that. It says that vengeance does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And he said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." So that's a liberating force in your life and my life, where we do not have to plan a vigilante type device or scheme. Instead, we get to come boldly before the throne of grace and say, "God, I'm so thankful that you set me free from that, that I'm just going to continue to go ahead and move forward." So I want to stay on the path. I don't want to deviate from the path. Now, the second part of the verse says that there is a different group of people, where one group is devising evil plans of lying and stealing and killing and, you know, doing all sorts of horrific things. There's a different group of people, and those are people who devise good. And it says God's mercy and God's truth belong to the people who are devising good. Now, I don't know about you, but I want mercy and truth to belong to me. I looked it up, and that word belong, it means the property of or is due to. You know, I've got bills that their due date is printed on the invoice, and it says it is due by such and such a date. It is due now, you know, due upon receipt. There are different statements that are upon that. And God has made a declaration in heaven that there is a dispatch from heaven. We've talked about that, where he sends forth his mercy and sends forth his truth, and he sends it specifically to those people who are devising to do good. So let me read to you, if I can. I've got it written very small here. The word good there means it is pleasing, delightful, delicious to the taste. It's pure, it's clean, it's cheerful, it's good, it's acceptable. That's an entirely different mindset of the person who is devising harm, preparing a plan to injure or to deprive another individual of. That means that God is taking notice of the things that we are preparing. So we need to prepare. So our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God is to be a blessing. That's who we are. You've probably heard me, if you've listened for very long, when I was discussing that new mission statement of just being a blessing, one of my children said, that doesn't sound like much of a stretch for Merit Assembly of God. And I was like, well, that's the point. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's why we exist. And so I shared that. Now, I believe that there are plenty of things that we can do that are good for God, good for ourselves, and good for other people. You know, the world likes to talk about a win-win situation. So I'll just put it in this perspective. So several months ago, my father had decided that he was going to sell his house. It had only been in the house a little over 2 years. My mother passed away, or I guess maybe 3 years. I guess it was 3 years. I don't remember now. But anyway, he decided that it was in his best interest to sell the house and eliminate all of his debt. And I can tell you it's led to a much more enjoyable quality of life, a less financially stress-filled life for him because of that. But there was another person, and they said, you know what? I have a business, and this piece of property is it is positioned right where I need it to be in order for me to be able to do. It was a truck driver. My dad's house was about 1 mile off of an interstate, and so that transaction, that selling of the house, was a win for both parties. And so there, God does that. Now I will tell you that God also has a plan. God is not going to tell us to devise plans for good without leading the charge. We started the Refresh Radio program in 2013, and we started the last few days of October into the first week of November. And so I talked about Thanksgiving for the entire month. I don't have a consultant that I use. Hey, you should talk about this. You shouldn't talk about that. I don't have any of that. I just have my Bible and my prayer time and saying, God, what do you want me to talk about? And so then Christmas, the month of December, I was saying, okay, God, now we're through Thanksgiving. What do you want me to talk about on the radio in the month of December? These are not my sermons that I preach on Sunday morning. It's complete distinct ministry apart from that. It means it's a lot more work, but it's, you know, when you're smaller like we are, you're able to pivot and make adjustments pretty quickly. And so I said, God, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, I want you to talk about preparation. I remember that. I couldn't tell you most of the time frames that I have talked about things in the 8+ years that we've been doing this, but I can tell you about that very first December. And it may not have impacted anybody else, but it impacted me because it showed me that God is not flying by the seat of his pants, if you will. He's not up there ruling and reigning in some sort of haphazardous way, or, you know, he's not just saying, you know, I think I'll go do this today. No, he has a plan. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. He orchestrated everything. You realize that he was operating in the cosmos to make sure that the star was exactly where it needed to be at exactly the right time. He was working in people's relationships. He was moving upon wise men and it equipped them financially and had them tuned to what to be looking for. Everything that was necessary, God was working to bring it to pass. And guess what? He's still doing. He still has a plan. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And so it's easy for God to disperse mercy and truth for those who devise good plans, because he's devised good plans. Let me take you over to a passage that is very familiar. A lot of times people quote it without realizing the context that it was being received in, but I'll take you there. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read you the context. And it says, verse number 3, the letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years, okay, so part of the planning was timing. After the 70 years are completed at Babylon, there's the location, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He knows those thoughts. Another passage says that God's plans will not be thwarted. Satan is not going to be able to stop God's plan. God and Satan operate differently. God says, here's my plan. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to move heaven and earth to make it come to pass, and there's not a thing in the world that you can do to stop me. Satan has to use deception and says, here's my plan. Look at all of this, and it's free. It doesn't cost you anything until you bite into it, make it part of your life, and then he says, it's not going to cost you anything. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. So, because I want you to experience mercy and truth in your life, and God says that it belongs to those who devise good, things that are pleasant, things that are acceptable, things that are beneficial, I want to talk to you and ask you this. What are you planning? What are you planning? You see, I know a lot of people, they have business plans. I don't know too many people whose business plan involved a worldwide pandemic that would, you know, impact, you know, the world's economy for 2 years. But, you know, some of us have done pretty well managing through a 2-year disruption. God's been good to us. We haven't missed paying our bill at the radio station here one time. We've not been late on a bill for decades. We just don't do that. You know, I tell our congregation, look, our economy at Merit Assembly of God is based upon the kingdom of God. And so we have been blessed. We've been able to move forward during this very difficult season with very, very few setbacks. There have been a few setbacks, but not very many. And so I want to ask you, if you think it's a good idea to have a business plan, a lot of people have plans for their vacation and things like that. I want to broaden your horizons a little bit today and say, what are you planning with the leading of the Holy Spirit? What are you planning where you will be able to do good and be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to your church, to be a blessing to your family? Let me redo the order of that. What are you doing to be a blessing to God? What are you doing to be a blessing to your family? What are you doing to be a blessing to your church? What are you planning to do to be a blessing to your community? So, during the time we've been on the air, we've been able to be a blessing to the people of Ukraine. Listeners came together from, nearly 70 miles one way to drop off things that we were sending to Ukraine, because there was an invasion that took place there, and there were pastors who were assassinated, and all sorts of horrible things took place, and it all happened in the winter time, and so we got together. But I want you to know there was a lot of logistics and a lot of plans that went into making that happen. So any building upgrades, there are plans that have to go into place. So there are things that are prepared in order for that to happen. Last year, we blessed a church in Mexico. There were plans, there were preparations, and there was a lot of persistence in order to be able to make that happen. When the hurricanes impacted us and cut off the water supply, we made contact with a group of Baptist churches in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and a friend of mine who also happened to live in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And we had the equipment, and we're able to be a blessing to the people in the community here. I challenge our church to live a lifestyle of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is organic, where being a blessing is who we are, not just what we do. But I will tell you this, that there is also an intentionality that has to take place. I want you to know the radio program is very intentional. There are plans. Okay, what's it going to talk about? Okay, well, here's 144 pages of information from the Word of God. What are you going to do with that? Well, you're going to do a whole lot of Bible study, a whole lot of preparation, and a whole lot of praying. Like, okay, God, how is this information going to be beneficial? How is it going to be good to the people around you? Now, one more thing that I will say about this, but mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. Great verse, by the way. I just want to remind you, Jesus said there's none good but God. And so I want to challenge you as you are praying and asking God, God, what plans could we put in place that are good, good for you, good for my family, good for our church, good for our community? I want you to know it needs to be God-birthed, God-centered, God-focused, God-provided for, God-anointed, and I tell you what, when that happens, you're going to find mercy and truth and abundance in your life. It's a great partnership. Seek truth, but also seek to have mercy operating and in your life and impacting others. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.